radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. Then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Sanders, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. We call it a safe house for your mind. We started off the program with a message in the music from Jerry Butler, thinking about cooling out, thinking about chilling out, thinking about relaxing, getting away from the hustle bustle, getting away from the cold, because we've had record colds thus far, and the winter season is not even half over. Well, we got something for you. We have a guest today, Ernest Edwards, and he's down in Grenada, and he has a bed and breakfast. He's going to talk about that. So he'll give you some information about it, and you can go up on his website and check it out and see it for yourself and see if it meets your approval as a place to go and chill out and enjoy yourself. And we'll speak with him following these messages, so don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best. Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
Hotep, my name is Renoka Rashidi. I'm an avid fan of and a big supporter of Brother Junius Stanton.
Our guest on today's program is Ernest Edwards. He's a entrepreneur, he's a builder. His background is in landscape architecture and landscape design, but he's also built housing subdivisions, commercial malls, and he's been active throughout his career in bettering the living conditions of black people. So welcome, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much, Rick. You know, it was interesting when I thought about the fact that we'd be talking today. I went back to see how long we've known each other. You know, it's been 45 years. Can you believe that? 45 years since 1969.
Yep. Yeah, I was trying to think about it. I thought it was like 33 or 44, but it's 1969. Yeah. So how you doing? First of all, when we know each other, there may be some people who are familiar with you, but more than likely, most of our listeners aren't. So give us a little background on yourself and your history as an entrepreneur.
I graduated from Rutgers University in 1969. with a bachelor's of science degree in landscape architecture, then matriculated at the University of Pennsylvania's Graduate School of Fine Arts. This is where we met each other. I was in a joint program to get a master's in city planning as well as a master's in landscape architecture. I've always wanted to be a builder since I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I'm very blessed that I was able to parlay both my undergraduate and graduate work into being a builder-developer. As you said, I've built single-family homes, renovated apartment complexes, built shopping malls. But basically, I've been a contractor who only built my own developments as opposed to being a general contractor trying to bid on work. I mean, I've done it, and it's cost me in every instance. I don't think I've ever made a dime as a general contractor building anything for anybody else. But I've always been very, very fortunate that, you know, being able to build and sell single-family homes in subdivisions. You know, back at the time when we first graduated, you can remember that we didn't have subdivisions like the one you live in now, where African-Americans, middle-income African-Americans could live in and amongst their own, as opposed to back in late 60s, early 70s, having to move in and integrate someone else's subdivision and hoping that we wouldn't get kicked out or have a fight or our wife would, you know, have an argument or our children would have some issues. So my dream was always to build something for us in our own community that we could be proud of and feel comfortable living with among our own peer group.
So now you're in Grenada. So how did you segue? How did you get from the United States to Grenada?
That's a great question. I think you know Dr. Walter Lomax, who recently passed away, was a dear friend. He had invested probably 15 million totally, 5 million in Jamaica, 5 million in the Bahamas, and 5 million in Grenada. And basically had lost all of his investment and asked me to go to each one of those three countries to see if there was any way I could determine he could get his money back. In each instance, all of the investments required additional investment, which he wasn't willing to do, so it never materialized. He just wrote off the losses. A great man who probably invested almost $50 million in our community over the last 15, 20 years of his life, trying to improve the conditions and of our people, as well as create entrepreneur and economic development opportunities for our folks. But when I got to Grenada, for some reason, I heard about Grenada from Maurice Bishop with the revolution back in 1979 and his assassination in 1983, and always felt a kindred spirit with him and a love for a nation where people wanted to have freedom, justice, and equality. Their revolution, not one bullet was fired, not one gun was fired. They took over, and in the 4 years before he was killed, he brought about a tremendous change in this nation, including universal education, which is why probably 98% of the people on the island, you know, are literate. He also created other reforms. He was more of a nationalist than a communist. His comrades were communists, and that's where, I guess, and I don't know the total history of it, but I'm certainly going to look to find out more about what caused the dissension between them killing him, and then them being locked up by Reagan and the troops that came down to rescue the students at the medical school.
Right. Well, but I mean, keep in mind, back then, if they wanted to get rid of you or to discourage you or to denigrate you, they painted you with the term as communist. You know, now it's terrorist, but back then it was communist.
Oh yeah, and even though they couldn't brand him as a communist, they branded his group as communist and created the dissension, because ironically he had just left England and the United States when he came back to Grenada and was murdered. And again, don't know the entire story, but it was his compatriots that did it, because he wasn't as hardline communist as they were. Cuba had just finished financing the creation or the building of the airport, which ironically, when I was here 3-4 years ago, it's probably 2009, so almost 5 years ago now, they named the airport Maurice Bishop International Airport in honor of him, and I had a chance to see his mother speak. I was here that for those 3 weeks, and I saw his mother speak, I saw his daughter speak, I saw the Prime Minister St. Vincent Grenadines speak, the Cuban ambassador spoke, and each one of them had so much to say that was so positive and good about the spirit of this man, that I made a decision right then and there that at some point this would be my home. And as things turned out, all of the confluences came together that caused me to make a decision last September that Grenada was going to be my new home. I moved here December 14th, and I am ecstatic at having made that decision. And I think I mentioned to you, ironically, someone had suggested that I read Randall Robinson's book, Quitting America, because they felt that his reasons for leaving America were similar to mine. And I'm glad I read the book after I moved here so that I wouldn't have any instance to think that my decision wasn't my own. I mean, not that I would have worried about it, but I wouldn't want anyone or anyone else to think that it was I was influenced by his book. I was influenced by the same circumstances and situations and conclusions that he arrived at. I had arrived at as well. So he and I share a kindred spirit, and I look forward to running over to St. Kitts and hooking up with him at some point just to exchange some notes.
All right, now to tell us a little bit about Grenada. Most of us only know about it if we're familiar with history and, like you mentioned, the invasion under the pretext of saving American
yes.
citizens who were students here there at the medical school, and they weren't in any danger whatsoever, but they just used that as a pretext. But
yes.
tell us about the environment there, the culture. A lot of places, you know, have resistance to the ugly American syndrome. So how is that? Because we're going to talk about business opportunities. So have you experienced that? And just give us a broad view of your assessment of the island.
Well, let me begin by just giving you some basic statistics about the island. And it is 21 miles at its longest, 14 miles at its widest, over 140 square miles. Its population is 100,000, which I would guess probably 50,000 or 50% are children under the age of 18. Of the other 50%, probably one-third of those are people 65 and over. Most of the people here in Grenada probably, when they graduate from high school, now that they're all getting, you know, this education for free and trying to improve their lot in life, they travel to Canada, England, or the United States to go to college and university. So very few remain behind. St. George's University, which we spoke of, which was started 3 years before Maurice Bishop's Revolution, now has a population of over 4,000 students. Probably about 1,200 to 1,500 are Americans who are here for a medical degree or a veterinary degree. The rest of them are undergraduates from Grenada and some of the surrounding islands trying to get their undergraduate degree, a baccalaureate degree in the arts and sciences. As far as the reception, Rick, I've been overwhelmed at the kindness and the generosity and the love that I experienced. I think most Grenadians would love to see African Americans coming to this island. I don't know why, but I can only attribute it, as we both know, to the propaganda from the revolution and the invasion, because there are no Americans here. I mean, the only people that might be from America that have moved to Grenada are Grenadians who went to the United States to get an education and then moved back. I shouldn't say that. I'll say African Americans, none. There are some whites from America that I've met who have moved here and who obviously love it. But one of my dreams, by the way, just so you know, is to try and find an opportunity to develop an expatriate African American community here in Grenada, because I absolutely believe Amer Africans, which is the term I use as opposed to African Americans, would absolutely love this place. 92% African origin, English speaking. Very, very low crime rate, an island that grows its own food because it's minerally rich. I think you might know that the nutmeg from Grenada is the best highest quality nutmeg on the planet. It doesn't outproduce Indonesia, but its quality is superior, and it also has all the other spices, cinnamon, curry, nuts, cashews, almonds. I sit under an almond tree at the beach most of the days that I'm down there. So, you know, it's got all the fruits. I got mango trees in my backyard. I make mango smoothies every night. The place is just absolutely incredible. There's no reason why anybody wouldn't want to be here. It's $1 equals 2.67 ECs, which is the Eastern Caribbean currency unit, so that people, their dollar will go further. There's fresh fish in the ocean. It was formed by a volcano, which is why it's minerally rich and grows everything. So that's in a nutshell.
What's the temperature like there?
The temperature, geez. It never goes below 75, Rick. Never goes above 85. 300 days of sunshine.
Mm. Is it some part in that band, I don't know whether it's in that band, there's a rainy season. Is that
Yeah, we have a rainy season, a dry season. The rainy season usually starts in late June, probably say from July through November. And then the dry season, which is beginning now, will be here through June. But we still get showers. I mean, we have a rainforest. It rains every night in the rainforest, which is where, you know, our water comes from. We have beautiful spring water naturally flowing down. There's no industry here that pollutes the water, you know, so that it's fantastic. So it's an ideal tropical environment. We're 12 degrees north of the equator. And the trade winds are so nice. You can sit in the sun and not even really feel hot, only because the trade winds are constantly cooling your body while you're laying in the sun. The water, I think I mentioned to you, I had neck surgery, spinal surgery, C3-7, November 4th. And I've been swimming in the water for the last month now, and I think the therapy has been absolutely incredible at helping my neck to get a range of motion and to recover a lot faster than what the doctors thought I would recover, you know, the time they gave me to recover.
Now, you're there obviously because you have a conviction that that's the place where you would want to live, but you're also looking for business opportunities, and you have begun one on your own, a bed and breakfast. So how did you go from landscape architecture, building single family homes, shopping malls, urban redevelopment to tropical bed and breakfast?
That's a great question. I tried to get a group of friends together to rent a house down here, because I feel that anywhere you go, you need to spend at least a year to get a feel for the place and a lay of the land before you finally, you know, make a decision to buy a home and to sink roots forever. So, and two of the friends fell out. It was only one left. Is a sister that I'd known from high school days. At any rate, she had lived in Guadeloupe 25 years ago when she was going through a divorce, so she had made a decision that the islands were where she'd want to retire to as well. So we just found a beautiful home because she's not here. She teaches. She's a college professor. I head the early childhood education department out at a school in California, up in San Francisco. So with her not being here and being a big house, I said, you know, what we need to do is try to rent these rooms out as a guest house bed and breakfast. So that's what I'm doing, and I've already got two bookings, and I just started. So I feel comfortable that, you know, when I get the website, you know, I send it to you. You've seen it. It's www.villatopazgranada.com, VillatopazGranada.com. A person goes to the site, they'll see what the villa looks like, and can rent one, two, three, or all four bedrooms, depending upon whether it's one person or group of people. I can cook or not cook. It's got an incredible kitchen that I can fix their own food on a daily basis. I provide taxi service from the airport transfers, as well as taxis to the beach, shopping malls, and whatever. So it's just something that I said, you know, why not take advantage of it since I'm here by myself? And like I said, we'll see how it goes, but I'm optimistic. I think once people come, they'll go back and tell their friends what a great time they had. It's got a beautiful swimming pool, you know, 4,400 square feet, beautiful views of the bay and the ocean. What else can I say except that I'm basically living in paradise, and I'm thankful for the blessing.
Now, have you made connections with the African-American or the other mainland travel clubs, travel organizations, travel magazines, and even, I don't know if people still use travel agents now like they used to because of the internet, but have you reached out to those entities to try to market the Villa Topaz?
Well, the first thing I did was on Friday, ironically, on Friday, I talked to my son out in California. He reminded me about Airbnb.com, which is a site where people go to when they're looking for temporary accommodations, whether it be a room, an apartment, a house. And I went on Airbnb and just quick and dirty threw a listing up so that I could at least get it done, knowing I could go back and re-edit it later. And within 24 hours, I got my first booking, and the people are booking it for 12 days in August. So I'm going to go back to the site after we finish talking and clean it up and make it what I want it to be. The one thing they won't allow you to do is refer people to your website so they can get a full sense of what the property is about. So I've got to now go back and take the information on my site and put it on the listing so that people will have a better sense of, and including some pictures, which I intend you know, put on there too. But I would love to find if there were African-American travel clubs groups and organizations, that's the tough part about it, not even knowing who they are and how to find them. But I'm sure through hunting and pecking, I will find a way to start outreaching to other folks.
Mm-hmm. What about travel? Because I see on the site you have American Airlines, and I think it's Air Caribbean.
Caribbean Air.
So are those are the only carriers that come to the island?
Those are the ones that come consistently. Mm-hmm. Delta Airlines has a flight out of New York that really only services the island for like a month when the students are coming home and going back for the medical students in the United States.
Right.
And in the summertime when they come home and go back in the fall. But Caribbean Air has two nonstops out of JFK, one on Wednesday and one on Saturday. Excuse me, it's a 4-hour and 20-minute flight. So it's less than traveling to Las Vegas or L.A.
And what about the other hubs, say like Miami?
Well,
Atlanta.
Now American is the one that flies out of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And American flies out of Miami 4 days a week. They fly out Saturday and the flights come in Saturday night, Sunday night, Wednesday and Friday, and they go out Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. So, you know, it's easier if you're in the Northeast. JFK is a sweet piece. You just go there and you fly nonstop. Flying through Miami is going to obviously cause a connection cause a need for a connection. So depending on how you get to Miami, if you want to do it on American, then I guess it might be a reduced ticket. If not, you might have to buy a separate ticket if you're in the South. Like I have friends in Atlanta who are going to fly to Miami and then take the Miami flight. The Miami flight's less than 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's not that difficult. It's not cheap. One of the things I've done in recognition of the flight, because a round trip out of New York on Caribbean Air is going to be about $800. So what I've done is as an introductory offer, I'm offering people, you book for 10 days, you only pay for 7 days. So the extra 3 days kind of mitigates against the extra
mm-hmm.
airfare cost. And you really do need 10 days just to get here and experience enough that you'll want to come back. You know, 7 days, it's a rush, if you're a tourist and sightseer. Now, I have a friend who's coming down March 2nd, and he's just coming for rest and relaxation.
Right,
so we won't have to worry about running him all over the island, you know.
Well, some people in the past have established retreats and the whole renewal type of cultural thing where they can renew themselves, get centered spiritually and psychologically. Any thoughts about that in terms of opening up to those kind of people, putting those kind of packages together yourself?
Well, I certainly want to. You can see on the website we talk about the spa treatment thing. One of the things I love about this place on Sundays, you can see the women going to church, which is obviously, you know, their community meeting, and they're dressed in their African garb, their galas, and it's just beautiful to see that over 400 years the culture has been maintained and traditions have been, you know, brought forward. So it is a place where you can come and they have a cultural arts center, a national museum. So there are things that people can do from a cultural standpoint. To me, this is the ideal place for rest and relaxation and spiritual renewal. One of the things I offer is a free massage for a person booking for a week or more. And, you know, we'll do whatever else we can. I just started, Rick, as you know. I've only been here since December 14th and was back in the States for a week, 2 weeks ago. So I really got to now start to focus on my marketing efforts. And a couple of people asked me about putting together some readings. Writers here in Grenada, you know, who have written books, they can come over. So the house, like I said, is 4,400 square feet, so it's big enough to hold probably 50 to 60 people easily, you know, for something like that. So I want to do that, and I need to do that. So, yes, it's an idea. It's a great idea, and I have to figure out how to put the packet together and then how I market that to the world so that they know it's available.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a sole proprietorship, or are you open to investment, or have you looked that far down the road yet?
Well, from an investment standpoint, what I'm hoping that this place will do two things. As I said, my goal ultimately is to build an expatriate African American community for those folks who would want to retire. Ironically, Dr. Lomax told me a long time ago, he said, Ernest, you know what? We came from Africa through the Caribbean, and if we ever go back to Africa, we'll go back through the Caribbean. And so, you know, and I've been obviously been to Africa more than once, I mean, probably 6 or 7 times. So I can understand his point in terms of the transition between the two, just with my own personal experiences. So I'm kind of happy that I followed his advice, came here as a result of him asking me to, you know, on a consultant basis to look at his investments and realize that this is the best approach to take in trying to get as close as we can back to our cultural roots, you know, as Africans. And so the best thing for me is the African-American community, expatriate community. And sure, I don't know that I'm looking for investors or investments. Obviously, anybody looking for opportunities, one of the things that I am working with is the largest real estate brokerage here on the island owned by Africans, African-American, they're not I guess they're African-Americans, North America, South America, but the sister is from Trinidad, married a Grenadian who is a medical doctor, they're personal friends. So I work with them. I know what listings are available. I know what properties are available. You know, and there are other business opportunities as well. Grenada right now has a cocoa. There's a Grenada chocolate company that is producing some of the best organic cocoa on the planet, and they're trying to find a way to begin exporting it to the United States. They already have the nutmeg oil, mm-hmm. which is for medicinal purposes. They also have nutmeg and syrup. They have nutmeg and spices. And they have rum. You know, the oldest continuously operating distillery in the Western Hemisphere, North and South America, is here in Grenada. It's been operating continuously since 1785 and is owned by Africans again. So,
wow.
And that's the
okay.
one thing about mm-hmm. Grenada. I would probably, other than the fact that 2 hotels just opened, one in November, well, one in December and one in January, Sandals and Radisson, other than those, all the hotels are owned by African-American people.
Mm-hmm. Now, just take us through, for rest and relaxation, people could come there, Villa Topaz. Now, what if they wanted to explore the island? You said you had taxi service. Do you have a
tour guide? Yeah, there's tours that they can take that would take them up to the rum plant, a beach up in the north, a great restaurant up in the north. There's 3 different waterfalls in the rainforest that they could visit, monkeys that they could feed, and you know. So there's things that you can do. There's hiking. I forget the term that they use, but there's walking and hiking daily if you wanted to, you know, do some exercise. There's canoeing, there's rafting, and obviously the sea is here for all any kind of deep-sea fishing. We have an underwater national park that is a huge sculpture of probably 15 to 20 Africans underwater depicting the Africans who, you know, went overboard and survived. Mm-hmm. So we have a number of different attractions, as well as snorkeling and scuba. We got a great sunken ship that people dive. So there's so many different things a person can do. There's so many activities that has to be tailored based on what a person wants. The only thing I will say, there is no casino and there are no real nightclubs. We have 1 or 2 places that are open to you know, maybe 12 or 1 in the morning, but this is not a party place. It's a place you come and you renew yourself. You try to find something, you know, that's peaceful and serene in the environment and in your living while you're here. And so it gets you away from that hustle and bustle, mm-hmm. that rat race that exists in America, you know.
Right. What about how close is the house to the beach?
The 2 best beaches, Grand Anse and Moulin Rouge, which used to be called BBC Beach for British Beach Club, are 15 minutes away. And, you know, because there are no houses directly on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a few hotels. So, because the beaches are open and free to anybody.
So there are no fees that they have to pay.
What's that?
There are no fees, like some places in the Northeast where you go to the beach, you got to pay a fee.
No, man. The only thing that you can rent is a lounge chair, depending upon which beach you go to, and that's $3 for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but other than renting a chair, but you can bring your towel and just lay on the sand. No, but there are no fees, and those concessions are just some brothers who saw an opportunity. You know, a lot of cruise ships come in here.
I was going to ask you about that. Are there opportunities for you to market through the cruise lines that come through there?
No, the cruise lines are only here for a day, so there would be no basis on which anybody on a cruise ship.
No, I'm just saying in terms of making people aware of the villa, you know, as they come in, you have literature or you have something.
Oh, yeah. Now, I could do that. But see, because they're from South America, they're either Portuguese from Brazil or I guess I speak Spanish in Argentina. So I haven't developed anything like that yet. You know, it's going to be, I mean, I'm just starting, Rick. You know, this really talking to you other than Airbnb with that quick listing the other day is my first effort at trying to market and let the world know we exist. That's my task ahead of me, and I look forward to dealing with it, you know, on a day-to-day basis until we succeed. I don't intend to run this bread and breakfast for more than 2 years maximum, because by then I'll know where I want to live, I'll know exactly what I want to do, and hopefully I'll be busy at it, getting it done, you know.
Well, how can people, in addition to going to the website, how can people contact you?
Well, my cell number is area code 473-416-4495.
Right, and give the URL for the website again.
Oh, and the website is www.villa, V-I-L-L-A, Topaz, T-O-P-A-Z, Grenada, Grenada.com. That's all one word. And my email address is ernest@areadyhomes.com. My old real estate company is still the site.
You said that real kind of quick, so okay. Slow it down and say it and spell it.
Okay. Ernest, E-R-N-E-S-T, at A as in Alan, R as in Red, E as in Ernest, D as in David, I as in Isaac, H as in Harry, O as in Oscar, M as in Mary, E as in Ernest, S as in Sam.com. That's Ernest@areadyhomes.com. And Aready stands for American Real Estate Development Incorporated, because that was the name of our company that I was operating until the economy took a very nasty nosedive back in 2007.
Now, on the website, you can book on the website, right?
Well, you can go to the website and then you contact me, tell me the dates that you want, and I can let you know whether available or not. I probably need to put up a calendar so that people can.
I thought there was one on there. There's something on the right when you look on there. I didn't click that to see how it operated, but I thought that's what it was for where you.
It could easily be. My son, fortunately, is a webmaster, and he has set the whole thing up for me. I am so computer illiterate that my kids threatened to quit working for me if I didn't at least learn how to use email about 10 years ago. Mm. So I still don't. I'm not facile with the use and operation of a computer, which is why, as I said, I threw that Airbnb thing up pretty quickly. But I'll go back and correct it. So I'm going to learn more and more about how to use the internet and how to use this computer to my advantage in trying to get people. But I'll look at that and find out, so I'll know myself what he's done.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's, and I don't see any, because I didn't click that part. I just clicked the pictorial gallery.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was going to ask you, can you do e-commerce on it? In other words, book and pay via credit card or PayPal or something like that. So you're probably going to have to talk to your son and get that cleared up.
I got to get the PayPal thing hooked up. It's something that he's got to do, and I just need to go ahead and get it done, because right now, the person that's booking for March 2nd through the 9th, he's just bringing cash with him. I happen to know him, and so I just locked him in, and he'll bring the cash.
Mm-hmm.
The other booking that I got through Airbnb, they're sending me a 25% deposit, and they're sending me, ironically, they're from Trinidad. So they're coming here for, I guess, 12 days to stay in Grenada. They're going to send me a check from their Trinidad account, and their bank is here in Grenada, so I'll just deposit their check. But you're right, I've got to become much more sophisticated at being able to accept payment, particularly from the United States, because it takes 6 weeks for a check to clear.
What?
6 weeks for an American check to clear through a Grenadian bank.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, I still have my checking account in the United States, so that I could actually have people just send a check to one of my children who still live in the United States, and they can direct deposit in the account. So there's a number of different ways of getting it done, but the easiest and the most convenient way for most folks is, as you said, through PayPal or some credit card thing, which I'm reluctant to do, obviously, because that costs money. But I guess I got to do it.
Well,
but first, learn how to do it, and then I'll go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm. So short term, you're there. You want to get this up and running, but then you have your own search, personal search for meaning and purpose that you want to continue. So this is not going to be an integral part of that.
No, I think the bed and breakfast to me serves two purposes. As I get people coming down here, and they see what this place looks like, they will fall in love with it, and then they'll say, you know what, how can I come down here myself? Whether it's short term, whether it's long term, whether it's just once a year. So once I get a group of people to say, hey, this is what I'm looking for, you know, I go out and I can find. Like right now, there's a 12 unit building that was it was supposedly built for a condo, but when the economy fell, the developer never went any further. So 12 two bedroom apartments. 12 two-bedroom condominiums, because it's going to be a condominium building. I'm going to sell the units off. So that's an example of where, you know, I can probably tie that building up, try to get 6 to 8 people commit that, hey, when you finish it, you know, I'm in. You know, so that's kind of going to look like they can come down here, stay at the villa, look at the place, look at the island. So it serves, you know, how when people were doing those timeshares back in the day where you can stay there for a weekend. So the people can't stay in that facility because it's not built, but they can certainly stay here, get to know the island, know the people, know what Grenada's about, and if they make the decision to stay, then I can go ahead and put something together. Because in this economy right now, as slow as it is, it's pretty difficult to raise capital to start building stuff because, you know, anybody that would want to retire here has to sell their home in the United States, and there's still no real market. The homes, the housing prices are still depressed. Even though they say they're coming back, we'll see what happens. I'm not too optimistic about any major recovery. I still think they're going to try to tank the economy under Barack Obama.
That's why they put him in there.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know,
That last one was just a test run. The big one's coming, you know.
Well, I mean, what they're doing is unsustainable. So to segue with that, what are the land prices there like? Because as the American economy tanks, and more of the what I call them the kleptocrats begin to steal what little wealth we have left. You know, a lot of people are going to be looking for places to escape, to have something that they can survive off of.
Well, the prices are probably, remember, it's the island's 14 miles by 21. So land is very, very scarce.
Right.
Land
it's
is
a premium.
Not cheap. And I'm not
going to
tell anybody land is cheap. You know, there are people that have $4 and $5 million homes that need to be trying to sell them for $2 to $3 million if they're going to sell them. But their belief is, I'm going to hold on. You know, I got a great place. I used it. And when the economy turns, if I want to sell it, I'll sell it for the right price. But they're not. No, in America today, you can still probably buy a property at 33 to 40 cents on the dollar. Here in Grenada, you'd be lucky to buy it at 60 to 70 cents on the dollar. People are not panicking because it's not going anywhere. And the place is what it is, which is a self-sustaining island unto itself.
Right. Well, I think what's happening now is that they're making the transit from home ownership to condos and rentals and rental properties in the United States, because a lot of the younger people won't be able to purchase homes like we did.
Right.
Give us your contact information again, and then share the type of facility Villa Topaz is in terms of, do you have, because they can see it on the website, but I want you to describe it.
Sure. Well, my contact information one more time is www.villatopazgrenada.com. That's the website, VillaTopaz. GrenadaCom. That's the website. My email address I gave, well, my cell phone is 473-416-4495, which is on the website. And my email address is Ernest, E-R-N-E-S-T, at Aready Homes, AreadiHomes.com. The facility itself, like I said, is 44 inches square feet. It's got a huge living room, dining room, a fantastic family room where this huge widescreen TV is. It also has 4 bedrooms, a master bedroom with a king bed. It's a bi-level master bedroom. It's probably I'd say 16 by 30. So it's almost 480 square feet of just the master bedroom complex, the master closet and the master bathroom. The master bathroom has this beautiful shower with a rainforest nozzle on top, so you feel like you're in a rainforest getting taking a shower. It's got a jacuzzi, a whirlpool bathtub, a double sink, both toilet and bidet, walk-in closet. You can't bring that many clothes here to fill up even half the closet. There's a queen suite, which is also en suite, meaning it has its own bathroom without a door in the hallway. There's also another huge bedroom that is right now has two twin beds in it, so it's a twin. It has its own ensuite bathroom as well, big closet. What I'm looking at is probably converting that room to a another king bedroom so that if groups come, one person won't feel uncomfortable if somebody's got the best big bedroom and there's no other big bedroom. And then the last, the fourth bedroom is a full-size bed, and I'll probably take that out and put the twin beds in, but that's probably a couple of months down the road. Right now we have a king, queen, twins, and a full-size bedroom, which accommodates up to 8 people without any real problem. The couple I booked for August from the Airbnb thing, they have 11 people, therefore 8 adults and 3 kids, 3 generations, the mom and the dad, the husband and his wife with their 3 kids, and his brother and sister, and, you know, were coming with their spouses. So it's huge. You can come leave it. We have, what, 1, 2, 3 balconies. There's a balcony off the master bedroom that overlooks Westerhall Bay. There's a balcony off of the family room, one view looking toward the ocean. The other one overlooks the swimming pool and the mountains in the back. Fantastic gourmet kitchen, 5 burner stoves, oven, microwave.
Yeah, you have pumped-in gas or propane?
It's gas. It's propane gas.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there's no natural gas. And so with 50,000 people, adults, there's probably maybe, I don't know, I guess what, 25,000 households on the whole island. So when you know, 25,000 households, you know, it's mountainous and it's volcanic, so even though the soil is really rich, every once in a while you run into some rocks, so no one's going to go out here. The telephone lines and electric lines are overhead. The only thing that's underground basically is water.
Mm-hmm. All right, so,
sewer.
Right, now if someone, I know that there was a time when they used to, in South America and Mexico, have villas. You could rent a villa, or even in Europe, and you come and you bring your own food. How does that work with you, with Villa Topaz? Will you feed people, or will they bring their own food or whatever?
It's their choice, Rick. And my preference is for them to buy their own food. I'd love to take them to at least 6 supermarkets here on the island. They can buy their own food, take them down to the fish market, where it's open-air fish market. They can buy fish from the fishermen every day. There are open-air markets along the roads where people can stop and buy fresh fruits and vegetables. So I prefer people buying and fixing their own food. I certainly can do that for them if they want at a cost, you know, and the package includes, you know, all the alcohol, you know, beer, wine, whiskey, whatever, rum. So I can do that too. But my preference is for people to do their own so they can save themselves some money, because, I mean, I'm definitely going to charge them for having to, you know, pick up the stuff and do the cooking. And I think it's probably a lot easier if people did it. But, and there's a lot of nice restaurants too, so there's, you know, for me, I couldn't do like 3 restaurants, 3 days at a restaurant, 4 days here. It's either one or the other for the quantity of food that we bought to prepare stuff. So, but each person will make their own decision. If they're coming with 1 or 2 people, they might want me to do the cooking. If it's a group of 3 or 4 couples, they probably want to buy their own food into their own cooking, you know. They're pretty, they have more cabinet space. I brought down all of my houseware, kitchenware from the United States, and I still have cabinets that are open and blank. The kitchens have more cabinet space, little store, extra food, snack, goodies. We have a beautiful wine cabinet right here off the kitchen where they can, you know, buy their bottles of wine and keep them while they're here. So it's up to the person to decide what they want to do. I'm just going to accommodate the wishes of our guests.
Mm-hmm. So what's the price range for staying? Is it, can you stay for, is it 1 or 2 days minimum, or do you have
a minimum?
Right.
And the king, the master suite rent for $1,100 for the week. The queen is $900 for the week. And the queen suite, by the way, has a balcony off of it that overlooks the pool. So it's just more than just the bedroom and the bathroom. It's got the balcony and it's got some privacy. And that's $900 a week. The twin bedroom, which is a huge bedroom ensuite, is $900 a week as well. And that's one or two people. Whether you're one or two, the prices don't change. Mm-hmm. And then the full-size bedroom is $700 a week. So for $100 a week, you can't find a hotel room anywhere in the island for $100 a week. And to have that along
you
with
$100 a day. You mean $100 a day?
$100 a day. I'm sorry, yes. $100 a day. So with the swimming pool, you know, use of the entire house, facilities, and all the other things that are available, including the taxi. And if you do the B&B, I do include a continental breakfast, you know, every morning, mm-hmm. you know, which is mm-hmm. toast or rolls or croissant, yogurt, hard-boiled eggs, cereal, milk, and juice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You look like you're breaking up there. Okay, we seem to have lost the connection. But we were getting ready to close out in about 2 minutes anyway. So for more information, you can go to www.villatopazgrenada.com. That's www.villatopazgrenada.com. And his contact number, his cell phone is 473-416-4495. His name is Ernest Edwards. And, you know, it sounds like something unique that will probably branch out into being very, very profitable for him and very mutually beneficial for those people who want to travel, explore another island, and get some insight into the Afro-Caribbean culture and the diasporic culture. So we encourage you to follow up, and we will be in contact with him sometime in the future and see how he's making out. So we look forward to hearing from him again in the not-too-distant future. As we close out today's program, I wanted to remind you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow. This is Junius Ricardo Stanton wishing each and every one of you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, power, but most of all, courage. The courage to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be. And your life manifests magnificently as the Creator expressing itself as you. Till next time, stay strong.
Cyberspace is the base that no army with artillery invades, where no military.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.